Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I trust you've had a good night's rest. Everybody feels as good as I look. Amen. Amen or oh me, one of them fit, huh? If you have your Bibles with you, I'll ask you to take and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 5. It was read last night during one of the skits. It was read this morning during the breaking of bread, and I thought it was very interesting. This is a portion we'll be considering Family Bible Hour. We've been considering the Lamb of God, and I trust if you've came to this conference, you will at least acknowledge that there's no way we can exhaust this subject in one weekend. There are many, many passages concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as a Lamb that we've not even looked at. But I trust the things that we have considered have challenged your heart to live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was Mr. D.L. Moody, and you've heard the story quite well. As a young man, Mr. D.L. Moody had heard someone say, "The world is yet to see a man totally sold out to God." Mr. D.L. Moody said, "I will be that man." And he set out studying the Word of God, preaching the Word of God with passion. Thousands of souls in the United States and in England were saved. A college built and named after him. Various things still carried on in his name. Mr. D.L. Moody, on his deathbed, said, "The world has yet to see a man totally sold out to God." He said, "I could not be that man." I wonder, is that man or that woman here this weekend? Is there someone here that maybe through the course of these lectures and studies that we have considered has now began, as our brother said, will purpose in your heart to be that man, that woman, that will begin to be sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. You understand the scene a little bit. Here John has been caught up into heaven and he's seen things. Verse 1, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. May the Lord bless to our heart the reading of his holy word. It's quite a book, amen? It's quite a book. Well, it's very interesting, this passage of Scripture here. And as we said already, there are quite a few things in the book of Revelation that could be somewhat confusing. There's a couple of excellent commentaries on the market today, I think, to help you understand the book. There seems to be a new interest among God's people to know what's in the book. But it is, may I say, quite simple. I know a lot of folks have confused the facts in the book of Revelation, but I believe if you just carefully read it, pause and ponder the things that you see, you would be amazed what light is shed upon your soul as you read the book of Revelation. Did you know that there is a blessing bestowed upon the person that will just sit and read the book? Amen? All right. It is just not going to work. I have been here before. It has been years. It usually takes 3 or 4 years to get over my sermons. It really does. Then I get invited back. But you remember when I was here before that I told you that I wanted a good amen. Thank you very much. The elders can get on to you later. But I happen to like a good amen. And I like a little nod every now and again. We've covered this already, have we not? This means yes. This means no. This means I don't have a clue. There's a dear brother there in Leesburg, just recently moved there, Dave Bennett. He has a little girl that's 4 years old. Now you're surprised at what children pick up on. I have ministered in the presence of Dave Bennett a few times, and I try to encourage the people to nod with me as I'm speaking. Yes, Frank, that's right. No, I don't believe a word you're saying, or I don't have a clue what you're talking about. It's not that difficult. And so this little girl, I'm over at her house one evening. We're sitting around, 4 years old, little girl Sarah. Her mother kept saying, "Go tell him, go tell him." And she says, "No, no." I said, "What is it, sweetheart? What do you want to say to me?" She looked at me and she said, and it took off running out of the room. So that little girl remembers Frank Burgess. Please, please, I only have a few minutes with you. Let me know that we're on the same page. Amen? Amen. Very good. Listen, next week you can just get all stiff-necked again if you want to and stare at the preacher. That's fine. But this week, nod a little bit and smile like you're glad to be saved. Amen. I like to see that. Here we have this portion concerning a lamb, and there is a picture of God sitting upon his throne. And I tell you, it's quite a picture. I remember a young fellow there in the Navy who was taken up with some ability to draw, and he liked to draw things that were not pleasing to the sight. very fleshy, very carnal in his imagination. And he used to try to entice me as he would show me some of his artwork. I received more persecution in the Navy for being a Christian than I have since I've been in the Lord's work. I just want you to know that. Seems like people tolerate you now if you carry the title preacher. Oh, he's a preacher. Leave him alone. But as a regular old worker like you in the Navy, it was odd to be sold out to Christ. Did you know that? People expect us to be good. Amen? Huh? They pay us to be good. You're good for nothing. And this is what amazes people when they see folks who are good for nothing. And so I remember giving him the book of Revelation chapter 4. I said, read this about this throne and lightnings and thunderings and the sea of glass. And I said, draw that. Why, he come back a week later, gave me my little New Testament back. He said, I can't do it. I knew he couldn't do it. But it was good for him to read. Amen. I like to use my sanctified imagination when I read this passage of Scripture. It was amazing to think this is what John beheld there in glory. And this one, he can't really even describe what he looks like sitting there on his throne. Jasper and radiance and glory and beauty. And my, he said, I saw a hand. And in the hand of that one, a scroll, a book. And I heard a loud angel. You know, John is probably just amazed. We'll be that way when we get to glory. Amen. You know, when we go there, oh, we're going to see it and we're going to be like John, just amazed, mesmerized. And John, he's staring at that throne and he sees that scroll and he hears, and it has to be a loud voice to get his attention. Amen. An angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy? Don't you know John must have begun to look around? Who? Who is it? Who's worthy? And the voice comes back. We've searched high and low. No one. I believe that the scroll that was held in the hand of this one on the throne is the title deed to the earth. Now, you're entitled to your opinion. You really are. And I would just simply like to say, if you have something that disagrees with me, feel free, please, just to keep it to yourself. I happen to think that the scroll is the title deed to the earth. And here, no one is found worthy to loose its seals and to see what is going to transpire here upon the earth. And John begins to weep. Aren't you glad that it does not say who is willing? Who is willing to take the scroll and to loose its seals? But just look back down through history and you will see men after men rising to the occasion, willing to dominate this world and rule it. Men who have sought to possess the whole world. And every one of them wicked and corrupt. Many men have been willing. No wonder the Lord said, what would it profit a man if it were possible to gain the entire world and lose his own soul? The value of a soul is phenomenal. Did you know that? It's phenomenal. I was raised in the countries of Arkansas. I was a hillbilly, ridge runner, stump jumper, all those other things. That was me. I lived that life. Never knew what an antique was. Couldn't spell it, still have trouble. As I grew older, I would go to visit somewhere and there would be an old table sitting there. And you go to set your coffee on that old table. No, don't set it on. Why, it's an old table. You surely don't want me to set it on this new one. You don't set it on this one. Why? What makes that old table valuable? And they say, because I paid a large sum of money for it. Antiques. Still, they don't mean a whole lot to me. But some folks love antiques. I had heard the story recently about a man who purchased an old Harley Davidson motorcycle. He bought it for parts. I think he paid $800 for the crazy thing. Had it sitting out behind his house. About a week later, a man called him on the phone and said, "Is this so-and-so?" He says, "Yes." He said, "Did you purchase a motorcycle from a certain junkyard?" He said, "Oh, yes, I did." Gave him a VIN number on it. He said, "Yes, that's it." He said, "I will give you $10,000 for that junker." He said, "You've got to be crazy." And he hung the phone up. Thought it was a prank phone call. It just cost him $800. He bought it for parts, you see. It didn't run. Well, a fella called back. He said, $100,000. Click. Hung up on him. The man came to visit him. He said, "I will pay you $500,000 cash for that motorcycle." The man said, "Show me the money." "Show me the money." After he purchased the motorcycle, he said, "Why would you pay that kind of money for an old beat-up motorcycle that won't run?" And he said, "I will show you." He walked around back, raised the seat, and inscribed on a bar underneath the seat, it said, "To Priscilla from Elvis." That motorcycle is estimated to be worth a few million dollars. It's been restored. I wouldn't have paid $800 for it in a junkyard. The value of a thing is determined by the price that is put upon it. And the price that was put upon the soul of man was the blood of God's only Son. You think about that. You are so valuable to God. He purchased you by the blood of His only Son. I don't know how much meditating you do upon the Word of God. But just sometime when you're driving down the road or you're out walking or fishing, I enjoy fishing, just begin to think about the cross. You can never exhaust thinking about the cross. And next time you begin to think about the cross, we always examine the cross from our perspective. Have you noticed that? What does that cross benefit me? And a lot of times our breaking of bread reflects what we get because Christ died. And that's important. Amen? Have you ever thought about it from the Lord Jesus' perspective? As He hung on that cross, what was He going to get? Well, I'll tell you, that's a whole other sermon, but it's in the book of Ephesians. Amen? He's going to get a bride, a body, a building. But have you ever thought about the cross? Just meditate on the cross and think, what was it for the Father as His Son hung there on that cross? When you read the writings of Zechariah, it seems to indicate that the Father in heaven was weeping while His Son hung on the cross. Next time you think you're not very valuable, you look at the cross. Infinitely valuable. No one was found worthy to come and to take this scroll and to loose its seals. John began to weep. That's odd language in the Word of God today. Beloved, I am convinced with all of my heart we live in a Laodicean age. I believe we are in the last days of the last days. We live in an age today where Christianity is simply a religion. And there are very few Christians today. I would like to think I am in a room full of the cream of the crop. Amen? That this is a group of people who are serious about serving their God. But may I say to you, that weeping for the children of God is an odd thing today. No longer do saints weep over sinning saints. No longer are we before God with tears running down our cheeks because my brother, my sister is away from God and not where they ought to be. I am one to tell you that it's high time we went to our brothers and sisters and told them what sin is. Amen? Take the Word of God and say, the life you're living is not pleasing to God. We are so tolerant today of sin. And we no longer weep for our brothers and sisters. We no longer weep today for the lost. Don't raise your hand. Don't stand up. Ask your heart this morning, when is the last time you shed a tear because you knew someone was going to die and go to hell without Christ? You think about it. We are so carnal. Yea, we are pathetic. And we're the cream of the crop. Well, you're getting a little hard on us now, Frank. Well, sometimes you need to be come down on a little hard, don't you? This means yes. You can get somebody to come in next week and pat you on the back. I would to God that you took a handful of tracts and begin to give 5 and 6 out every day for the rest of your life. I would to God that you would purpose in your heart every day for the rest of your life to sit out and tell somebody about Jesus Christ. You know, we can go from Sunday to Sunday. We can look today back at the last Lord's Day and say, you know what? All week long, I never shared my Savior with one person. I never went out of my way at all to encourage a lost, condemned sinner to trust Christ. If you are here this morning and you've never been born again, I hope you're not comfortable. I hope that the Spirit of God would cause you to squirm in your seat even now. I would to God that the darkness could be dispelled to where the light could come in and reveal to your heart just how wicked you are. This is what salvation is all about. God revealing to me the wickedness of my own heart. And as I look at the wickedness of my own heart, I realize how helpless and hopeless I am. And I deserve to be condemned by a holy God. I can't look upon Him and He can't look upon my sin. And I am lost without Him. And then someone would come along and share the wonderful news of the cross of Calvary. That yes, you are worthless and helpless, and you are vile and wicked and deserve to be condemned, but there was one who loved you in your sinful state. One who saw something in you that He wanted to redeem. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Him and Him alone is your only hope for heaven. There's many here that believe that. There could be some here that's never yet bowed the knee. I pray it will be so for you today. An elder comes and lays his hand upon John and says, do not weep. Behold, I like that word behold. That word behold means stop, take a long look at. Do not weep. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I like that phrase. The Root of David. He's prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals. You see, this is what all the angelic host in heaven, all of those who are living there in that realm, when they look upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they see Him as the King, the one who has the right to rule and reign, the Sovereign who is in absolute control. Amen? And He is. He is in control, and He is the King, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's what they see. And John there weeping, no doubt wiping the tears from his eyes, turning to behold the Lion. And he says, as I turned, I saw a lamb. A young, tender, innocent lamb standing with the appearance as if though it had just been freshly slain. A lamb that had been slain standing. Such an odd thing. John is about 96 years old. The Lord Jesus, at this point, has been in heaven for at least 60 years. And John says, when I saw the Lord Jesus, I saw Him as a lamb with the appearance as if though it had just been freshly slain. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when I get to heaven, I'm going to see Him as the Lamb. And He is going to appear as if though He just returned from Calvary. Think about it. You meditate on that. Mull that over a little bit. And after I've been there 1,500 zillion, trillion, billion years, that's a pretty big number, amen? After I've been there all that time, I'm still going to behold that lamb as if though it had been freshly slain. Beloved, throughout all eternity, the cross will never diminish in its freshness before eyes. We will forever see Him who gave His life a ransom to redeem us from our sin. Isn't that amazing? We will never say, oh, yeah, there's the Lamb, and boy, that really looks kind of neat. I'm going to go find Grandpa now and shake his hand. Never happened like that. Back in Marble Hill, Missouri, where I live, they had a Southern Gospel radio station. Some of it's pretty good. Some of it you have to turn it off when they sing certain songs. Some songs they have, it says, Lord, I'm coming up the rough side of the mountain, and I'm hanging on as best I can. Well, listen, I'm not hanging on to anything. He's hanging on to me, amen? I have committed unto Him. I'm kept by Him. They have one that says they're going to ride the wagon around the church one more time. They have one song they sing. It's called Hello. And it says, when I get to heaven, I'm going to walk up and down the streets of gold saying hello. There's Grandma and Grandpa and Mom and Dad, and there's Uncle Bob and Aunt Sue and all the rest of them. You see, I'm going to say, there's Cousin Jim over there, and we're just going to have a good old time. And the song says, when you get down about the third stanza, it says, oh yeah, I certainly want to go up to the temple and see Jesus. Let me tell you something. Heaven for the Christian is to be with Jesus. That is heaven. Everyone wants to go to heaven because Grandma and Grandpa's going to be there. A lot of folks want to go to heaven because they're going to have streets of gold. Beloved, I'm going because my Savior lives there. I want to see Him. And I will behold Him forever because He is the one that went to the cross and bore in His body the penalty for my sins. And that will never diminish in my sight. Standing, of course, though He had been slain, He's been raised from the dead. And it is this Lamb that has the right to take that scroll and begin to unloose the seals. And you notice here, as our brother read to us at the Lord's Supper this morning, as He takes the scroll from the hand, everyone witnessing this thing falls down on their face and begins to worship Him. Amen. I like that. They began to worship the Lamb. Every one of them crying out, worshiping the Lamb of God. I have said to you and to other ones, and in my travels, I love to challenge the young folks. And sometimes they are quite a challenge to me too. It is ironic, I think, that the older I get, the fewer old folks I see in the assemblies. It is odd. 20 years ago, they were full of old people. Now that I'm on up there a little bit, there's fewer old folks in the meetings. But in challenging the young people, I think it's important to lay a foundation to get a good basis for what we believe. I really do. I ask the young folks simple things such as, why do you have the Lord's Supper every Sunday? And I receive generally the standard answer, well, because that's just the way we do it. Now that's sad, isn't it? I say to you Sunday school teachers, think about this. While we're telling them about the ark and the flood and the doves and all these things, which are wonderful stories if they're told for the right reasons, think about this. We are sending off our young folks to college. Listen to me now. We are sending off our young folks to college, and over 90% of them does not have a clue what it means to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You think about that. We have raised them in our Sunday school classes. We have taught them in our Bible study programs. And we have gotten ourselves into this fanciful mode. We want all the little fancy icing things in the Bible. And we have completely neglected the basic elements of getting a good foundation laid in here. Now maybe I'm mistaken. Please, young folks, come up to me during the lunch break. Please. If you're 17, 18, 19 years old, please come to me and say, Brother Frank, I know exactly what it means to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, and here's the verses. Here's why I know. Isn't it amazing? Something as essential as yielding yourself to the leading of the Spirit of God. And our young folks don't have a clue. If we were to say to our young people before they left to go to college, see, I'm talking to the young folks, but I'll tell you, there's a sober look on everybody that's 30 and over right now. I say to the young folks, I say to them, what does it mean to worship God? How is it possible that I, a sinner, redeemed and cleansed, how is it possible that I can worship God? And it is absolutely amazing what these young folks will tell you if you ask them that. And I would say that the large majority of the answers they're going to give you is something they've taken from a TV evangelist. Think about it. And if I was to hand them the Word of God and I say, no, really, I want you to show me what does it mean to seriously worship. Very, very, very few people today. I'm talking to the assemblies of God's people. Which we have what is called a worship meeting. Amen? Yeah, I know. I don't hear them either. The amens are gone. We love a pat on the back. We love an old shot in the arm. We like a nice little funny story every now and again. It's true. It's real. Heaven is there. The Lamb is there. And there in heaven they worship Him. And He has asked us here on earth to worship Him. And the devil is as busy as he can be to rob God of worship. You've heard that before. And I want you to know that he is doing an incredibly good job of robbing God of what's rightly God's. Well, it's five after. I'm going to give it to you. Worship in its most basic, elementary form. It's like studying the Lamb of God. You can't exhaust the study of worship. Worship in its most basic, elementary form is simply telling the Father how wonderful His Son is. Worship is simply telling the Father how wonderful His Son is. Amen. I'm telling you, you got to pull it out of them. Walking down the sidewalk, working in the garden, mowing the lawn, driving down the road, simply began to say, Father, let me just tell you how wonderful your Son is to me. And the Father, there's other aspects of worship, but I'm giving you its most basic elementary form. The Father receives that. It thrills His heart. Heaven rejoices. Books are being written when people begin to speak of Him. It's been a long, long time, hasn't it, since you alone told the Father how wonderful His Son is. Oh, we do it when we get together. Yeah, but most of that's hypocritical anyway. Worship continually. Amen? Worship daily. Worship God. And then when we come together for a worship service, my goodness, the heart is filled and it's just overflowing. There is a Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. That Lamb is alive and in heaven. And all born-again believers shall behold Him one day and worship Him in the beauty of holiness. If you're here and you're a child of God, begin to worship now. And if you're here and you're lost, trust Him today. Please, have your sins forgiven, your life transformed, and look forward to spending eternity with folks that are in this room. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank Thee so very much for that one at Thy right hand. There are so many things that the Bible tells us concerning Him, and yet our hearts just can't take it all in. But Father, this much we know. We long to see Him. Father, give us a heart that matches the words of the song that says, as the deer pants for the water, so longs my soul after Thee. Father, give us a genuine longing. Cause us to begin to realize the seriousness of living next door to the lost and begin to weep for their salvation. Father, give us a desire to begin to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, again and speak verbally about His wonder and His goodness. Oh, Father, wake us up. Remove the scales from our eyes and our heart. Oh, Father, may each person in this room now gain a fresh appreciation for the Lamb of God. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.